We're here at the Warren in uncharacteristic sunshine for the UK, but it seems to be lasting. And I'm joined by Ginzilla. What's the story behind the name?
Ginzilla? Well, it's quite obvious if you look at me. I'm ginger and I'm 7 feet tall. So I smashed up. The inspiration came from my love for B-horror movies of the 1950s, so like Godzilla, King Kong. And so that's how I got the name.
So what do you love about Godzilla of all of those tall monsters you could have chosen?
It's always the fact that the creature itself is never just living its life, and it's been kind of, I guess, persecuted for no reason, and then it turns out to be a savior of the city, really. When it comes to against Godzilla versus all the different monsters, it's the Japanese protector. So it starts off as the enemy going to come destroy the city, and then all of a sudden it's the protector. So I love how like it has that yin-yang effect of monstrous but also caretaker.
Have you seen all of them?
Oh, I haven't seen all of them. No, definitely not. But I've seen the horrible remakes from the American ones of the late. Plus, I've also seen the classic ones as well.
And yeah. So how did that love of Godzilla make it to the stage?
Oh, it came about... this show, Ginzilla Glam Monster vs. the World, came about from me just kind of exploring, like, looking at my name, going, let's see what we can create. And then... just it was like a pastiche, really, of all the songs I've already performed, and then the genre of the 1950s. I just love the kind of like the housewife era. So that's like that. You get the I Love Lucy as well. That's a lot, a big element of my show. Like I Love Lucy and that kind of sketch, like slapstick comedy, and then mixed in with like the monster movies where I've superimposed myself into films. So it's just a lot of fun, I guess.
And you know, without going too serious, but isn't this the world at the moment? It's the world that's the monster.
Yes, well, that's the thing. Like, well, you'll find out in my show that the world is trying to turn me into something, and I'm trying to conform of like the 1950s tropes of the like kind of gender roles, and then I'm like, no, F this. I'm fighting against the world, you know. And I think that the big metaphor of the show is like being oneself and kind of going against the world and saying, you know what, even if you're not going to accept me, I'm going to be myself.
Yeah, and the world can't really cope with individuality, can it?
No, it can't. Not at the moment. Everyone tries to fit in a box. Even me with a bearded drag queen, like everyone's like trying to compare me with all the different bearded drag queens. I get so many, Conchita Wursts. I'm like, I don't look anything like Conchita. Like, she's like Arabian or looking, and I'm...
Well, you don't look too much like Godzilla, right?
No, I don't, definitely not. But I'm just, because when you see me in real life, you get the kind of impression how intimidating I can be, because I'm so big.
And so when you've got an hour or so then to create, how do you go about deciding what's in and choosing the songs and choosing the kind of, you know, there's all sorts of genres you can do in cabaret.
How I pick songs, songs that suit my voice is my big kind of thing, because my voice is very low, but then also I can sing very high, so that's kind of like how I pick my songs. But the material I choose is the things that bring me the most joy, and I think that my first show, actually, the show started from me picking the song in the middle. I have a fake interval, like the old 1950s movies, yeah. And so I just came up with this idea of... being dressed up like a usherette dancing to George Michael, Too Funky, and so that's how like it all came from that. All the show is based around fun, you know, and how I want to give the audience as much fun as possible.
How interactive is it, and how much is the fourth wall up, particularly when you do songs? Are they a conversation with the audience, or are they you know, sit, listen, and this is what I'm doing?
No, the show is very kind of unique in the sense of, like, it's not a traditional cabaret. It's more of a theatre cabaret piece where I don't interact with the audience except for key moments in the show. The key moments in the show are the beginning, the middle of the show where I'm doing the usherette. But everything else is just, like, you're partaking, watching what's happening to this character and how she evolves. But then within that, I do love to get amongst the audience and get in people's faces, especially in the last half of the show where I am this monstrous kind of creature. I do get in the audience and play with like scaring them. That's kind of like my where I get a lot of joy
and
doing
you think in kind of Brechtian terms, do you hold up a bit of a mirror to the audience that we've all got that in us too? And none of us are the same, are we?
No, we're definitely not. I think what I challenge people to do is when they first see me is just look beyond what my appearance is, because my touring in Australia example, I've had a lot of kind of negative people approach me, but coming to Brighton, everyone's been so lovely and so just welcoming, seeing me coming through the streets. It's very interesting to see that the difference between audiences and how they react to me.
Yeah, and I guess that's going to be even different in other parts of the world, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, completely. Well, I think the more exposure you have to a certain culture, then the more welcoming you are. I do get a lot of people come up to me in Brighton, that has happened so far, where they're like, oh, I've never seen anything like you, because they're from a different country, and they're just like, this is amazing, you know? So I love it.
Once you're touring around, do you change the script and the show at all, or is it pretty much printed?
No, the show now as it is how it is. I changed it from the first time I did it in Adelaide in 2017, and so from now I've been touring it, and I kind of tweak certain things most of the references in the show are pop culture references. There's no specific kind of like Australian references or English references, so it's kind of universal. So as long as you know like the general gist of kind of modern pop culture, you will get the gist of it. Yeah.
Did you fly over here, or did you come underwater and then rise out of the sea?
I always say I like to rise out of the water. No, I did fly here. I actually just flew here like a week ago. Yeah. So I'm based in London, but I've just been in Australia. Yeah.
What are you doing 5 minutes before everyone sees you on stage?
Oh, shaking my hands. I do this stupid thing where I shake my friend Christy taught me this. It's like you just shake your like each hand 8 times and feet, and then you do 4 times and then 2 times, and then I'm just shaking like a mad person. That's what I'm doing 5 minutes before the show.
And finally, what's your invitation for people to come see Ginzilla?
Invitation? Yeah. Come along. You're going to have the best time ever, because it's going to shock you. You're going to be pleasantly surprised. You're going to laugh I didn't make this because I thought it was just going to be like this fun thing, but people leave the show saying it's the funniest thing they've ever seen. It wasn't intentional, but I think people are just so taken back by how stupid it is. And they don't expect a drag show to be so have so much ridiculousness. Yeah.
Thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Oh, thank you for having me.